Happy Monday, everybody. Thanks so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for another great trip report show. And we have more than one trip to talk about today. Listener Nick is standing by down in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to talk about taking the grandkids down to Walt Disney World. Going as a couple, he took a lot of trips, so we have a lot to talk about today. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. They have the tools you need for a successful Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. Check out all the great services they offer over at touringplans.com. Today's show also brought to you by our friends over at our Amazon affiliate link. I don't know if we have friends over there, but it's there. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and it helps support everything we do here on the podcast. So please bookmark it and use it often. beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1565 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you, and I hope your eyeballs survived it. This was the first weekend with Disney Plus out there, and I know if you listen to this show, you're probably a huge Disney fan, and I can say, as you know, over the last 11-plus years of the podcast, I'm not much of a movie watcher, and I've watched at least 6 or 7 movies. Now, of course, Star Wars movies, I've seen them a million times, but I've also seen some of the other content, and I'm just saying, I'm loving my Disney Plus. Hopefully you are as well, and you're taking time out to listen to our podcast, either on those commutes or on your runs, maybe when you're walking the dog, or even if you have to do the dishes or do a grocery store run. Whatever it takes when you draw yourself away from the screen, thanks for taking us along, and we're getting the week started the right way. We're talking Disney. We've got some trips to talk about today, multiple trips. Nick is joining me from down in Tennessee. Nick, how are you doing today?
Great.
Glad to have you on the show. Thanks for taking the time.
Happy to do it.
All righty. So before we get cracking on your trip here, let's talk for a second about your background with Disney. You know, what has you here on a Disney podcast on a Monday, and why do you travel to the Disney destinations?
I guess some of my history, I went first with my parents back in 73. I was almost 10 and stayed at the Poly. I was hooked on the first visit. Considering the alligator issues that we know, it's kind of scary to look at the old 8mm from that trip and see folks swimming out from the beach to a floating platform.
Crazy.
But anyway... Growing up, my parents took us every 4 or so years, and when my wife and I got married, we honeymooned at the Grand Flow, and at some point, I discovered the unofficial guide.
Oh, hang on. There you go. Got the bell.
And got into the whole planning process. We took our kids growing up, and now our grandkids, and in 2015, after a lot of number crunching, I'm an engineer, we bought into DVC at the Poly.
Wow. So you have a long history with Walt Disney World especially, and it's, I don't have such a long-range vision of the place. You know, I started going, late 90s and so forth. So what do you think? I mean, it's such a different place now from... nearly 50 years ago. I mean, what do you say to that when so many changes have happened? Is it nostalgic when you look back? Was it better back in the day with less, or what do you think?
I guess like anything, pros and cons. I love the technology with the magic bands and the phones and all that, but it was pretty cool back in the day. And of course, back when I first went, there was just the Magic Kingdom. So it was, 2 or 3 days there, and then we went on to the beach like most folks did. So now it's, of course, you can't do it all in 2 or 3 weeks, much less a few days.
That's true. That's so true. The Vacation Kingdom has become exactly that. you're not leaving that bubble anymore. So, it's cool that you have that those memories of back then. I mean, do you share that with the family, the grandkids? I mean, it's hard for me to even fathom what that would be like, because I'm so used to having value hotels, moderate hotels, deluxe hotels, villas, and you know, what have you. And, you know, to think that, you know, there were only two or three resorts, one park, that's got to be an incredible story to share.
Yeah, it's funny to look back, going to the Poly now, and look back at some of the old 8mm that my dad shot and see, you know, some things are the same. A lot of things have changed for sure.
Absolutely. You know, and I mentioned Disney Plus at the top of the show, but I was watching the Imagineering special, which I think is really well done on Plus, and another show from Disneyland back in the 60s. And I was cracking up at how much stuff that they did back then that there's no way they would do that now. Like at Disneyland, they had the guy with the rocket pack just like up in the air, just zipping around everywhere. I mean, like you said, swimming out in Seven Seas Lagoon. I mean, it's crazy to think about those things happening nowadays. No way.
Different world.
Yeah, totally different world. They're like, no, get behind that fence. No thanks. All right, so let's hop into some of your trips. That's why we're here. And tell us about the first trip you want to talk about.
So we took advantage of the AP discount for DVC members at the end of 17 for our 18 trips. First time I'd ever been an AP holder. And so we took, in June of 18, we took our three oldest grandsons to the Poly for 8 nights. At that time, they were 6, 8, and 10. We also took them in 2016, so they kind of knew our routine, which is fly down in the morning, take Magical Express, swim until check-in's ready, and then go to a park, usually Epcot, because that's probably got the less attractions that they're interested in. I will point out, just for us personally, and this might work for some people, with three young grandsons and us being DVC members, the dining plan does never seem to be free, and they never seem to really work out for us. They just, it's with little kids, from my perspective, it's not worth the time and the money. So we will, and I've heard you say that you tend to be thrifty as well. Accordingly, on a family trip, we'll eat breakfast and sometimes lunch in the room. Nothing fancy, just cereal, Pop-Tarts, sandwiches, things like that. But back to this trip. So because we do that, we had groceries delivered initially by Walmart. A little bit of a problem there. Maybe they were just starting their grocery delivery at that time. Had to fall back on Amazon Prime Now, which I've heard several folks talk about. I can't say enough about how great my experience with Prime Now was. Everything's clearly labeled, insulated bags, really worked out great. But most days, what we would do is our routine is we would get the boys up early. We would rope drop after breakfast, come back to the Poly for lunch, swim, take a rest break. You know, at 10, 6, and 8, they're too old to take a nap. So we would say we're going to have a quiet time, and then they would all fall asleep. Then we would run back to the park, a park, around 4:30, and usually eat supper at a quick service location. We also hit the Hoot-de-Doo Review, which I love, Blizzard Beach, Typhoon Lagoon. Did Flight of Passage for the first time, which we all love. We just missed Toy Story Land by a few days. So that was kind of it in June 18. I will throw in one funny story. Since it was me, my wife, and three boys, I was the bathroom escort most of the time. So one day while we were in the park, my youngest grandson asked to go to the restroom. And I, just trying to gather a little information, inquired, okay, number one or number two? He thought about it for a second and replied, Papa Nick, I'm going for two.
It's almost a basketball reference here, but not quite. Nice. Well, I don't want to have that duty, so I'm just saying. Let me ask you this. So, I mean, these kids, you know what, with kind of focusing more on the quick service dining, with kids of that age, I mean, as I can remember, I mean, you know, you were a boy of that age. I was as well. Honestly, I hated sitting down to eat, like, especially if I was at like a place where I could go on rides and see shows and do all this cool stuff. It was probably for the best that you guys were kind of eating on the fly. Not only are you saving money, but you're also saving time, and the kids are probably happier at the, you know, as well.
Yeah, and that's correct. Like you say, I've heard you and Ricky and others say time is a premium. And I feel like, you know, the clock is ticking as soon as we go through the gate. So I personally hate to waste a lot of time, but especially with the kids, they just, you know, like you say, they're ready to grab something, go, and move on.
For real. Totally. Now, do the kids live in the same town as you? Like, how do you plan? How do you get them How do you get everybody on the same page so that when you hit that airplane, you know, you're all ready to go and you have an expectation for the trip?
They do live in the same town with us. The first time we took them in 16, we actually surprised them. So we had them spend the night, and we got them up that morning. And actually, my wife and I had made a little video that we showed. We said, well, you know, where can we take the boys this summer? We know somewhere fun. And then we sprung it on them, and we headed to the airport. So we told them in advance the second time. So they just spent the night with us and probably didn't sleep a whole lot that night. We got up that morning and headed to the airport.
So is it hard traveling with grandkids? I mean, you know, I wonder because, you know, it's a different dynamic than, you know, your own kids because, you know, parents have more of a, I don't know, to me it always seemed like my grandparents were the fun ones, you know, where the parents were more, you know, strict and so forth. I mean, what's that dynamic like? Because I think, you know, that's everybody's dream is to take the grandchildren to Walt Disney World.
We probably, to be quite honest, are a little more structured at our house than their parents. And that seems to work well. They respond well to that, so... Once we got them into the routine, you know, everybody's coming. We're coming back from swimming. It's time to take a rest. We're going to put pajamas on, turn the lights out in the room. It's going to be quiet. You don't have to sleep if you don't want to, but we're going to be quiet. And they fell into the routine pretty well once they kind of realized what their boundaries were.
Oh, man, sounds good. And that's exactly, you know, I worked in education forever, and that's the one thing that you got to have with kids is just structure and expectations, and they'll meet them. They want that. You know, it's, I think a lot of folks think, oh no, you know, the kids want to do what they want to do, but they want to know what the expectation is and have a structured plan. And then usually things will, not always, but things typically fall into place more likely than not. So, all right, well, let's walk through some of the other highlights of these other trips because, you know, you have a plethora of trips with the family.
Yeah. And real fast, I will say on that, we did walk through them the first time we took them. We walked through some ground rules that, okay, we're going to get everybody to ride everything that they can, but you may not get to ride it right at the time you want to. We may walk past the ride that you want to ride, but we'll come back later. We've got a plan.
That's a good tip, though, because it's hard for them to understand that. But if you give them that comfort that, you know what, we have a reason why we're doing things the way we are, but we're going to give you a chance to go on that ride. That, you know what, that's a great, I hope everybody's listening to that one because you're gonna walk past stuff your kids want to do. You got to tell them, hey, we'll come back to it. You know, we got a lot of time. We'll be back.
And on the other trips, so taking advantage of the AP, in September of 18, my wife Tina and I went down by ourselves. It was a little challenging because she was just 2 weeks out from having had rotator cuff surgery. She was in an immobilizer. We stayed in, at the time, the brand new Aventura Hotel Universal for four nights. Sorry, Mike.
No, it's okay.
And then Coronado Springs after that. And I'll just be real quick on that. There were a lot of firsts for us on this trip at Universal. We had never done Hogwarts Express and the Escape from Gringotts, which were both great. Jimmy Fallon and Kong, pretty good. Fast and Furious, really not so great, in my opinion. We went to Volcano Bay, loved it. Loved that Tiawa, the Fearless River. It's kind of like, instead of a lazy river, a crazy river.
Yeah, I did that. That was crazy. That was fun.
We stayed in it for a long time. And then Aventura was really nice, short walk to Volcano Bay. And then we moved over to Disney. That was the first time that we had been to Disney Springs. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law actually happened to be in Orlando, and my brother-in-law and I did The Void, Star Wars, which was fantastic. Have you done that yet, Mike?
I have not. I need to do that because the thing is I've heard, I listen to a lot of podcasts and not all Disney. I listen to a lot of tech podcasts, and one of the things obviously that's a big, big push is the virtual reality, the augmented reality, and you know, I've heard of, because there's those void experiences all around the country. And I just, it's one of those things you get down to Walt Disney World. And there's so much going on. And I haven't, like, I'm like you, I have an annual pass. I'm like, do I want to pay that premium to do something else when I can do all this other fun stuff that's included with my AP? I have a hard time with that. But again, I do want it. My wife was actually curious about it. So I think we're going to have to do it.
Yeah, it's, in my opinion, it's well worth it. Other highlights on that trip, we did the fireworks from the Top of the World Lounge. First time I'd done that. actually all of these are first. Supper at Whispering Canyon, love that. Lunch at Be Our Guest is okay. I'd probably try it again for dinner. Supper at Boma, I know you've talked about that before. That was great.
So good.
We did make a tactical error, though, because we did that before we went to the DVC Moonlight Magic at the studios and could only eat one Mickey bar.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, but no room for the ice cream. What are you doing?
Yeah, that was a tactical error there. That was our first time at Toy Story Land, which was good. And then we did our first Mickey's Not So Scary, which we liked. Only downside on that trip is, boy, it was sure hot.
Yeah, trust me, I go every summer. I get it. Now let me ask, so now when you went down with just your wife, you had, you know, that's a fun trip. How did things change? I mean, did you guys tend to go slower? Did you go harder? I mean, it sounds like you did a ton of new stuff. I mean, with Volcano Bay and all the Universal attractions, staying at Aventura. I mean, what's different when you take the grandkids as opposed to just a couple's trip? Because I think people are always wondering, like, you know, even their own kids. What's it like if I leave the kids back and we just go as a couple?
We would still rope drop pretty much. I think we did every day except the day of the after the Moonlight Magic, which was also the day of Mickey's Not So Scary. So we slept in that day. We did a few sit down meals. So just not as rushed of a pace. We could afford to be, especially having the AP, a little more picky, just hitting the attractions that we really wanted to, a lot more shopping, and then a lot of time at Disney Springs. So that was kind of more of an adult-ish flavor, but still hitting the favorite attractions and, you know, favorite highlights in the trip.
So let me ask you this too, because you mentioned like your first time to Disney Springs, and I'm always curious because obviously you listen to podcasts, you're a big Disney fan. You know, I think we build things up in our mind's eye as to what it's going to be like, and then you get there and the reality may be similar, it may be different. So what was your first impression of Disney Springs, knowing what you knew through, you know, reading blogs and, you know, listening to shows and stuff?
I really liked it, very impressed. You have a lot of, you know, great dining choices. Of course, the Void I already talked about. The shopping, most, you know, a lot of the shopping's kind of, for me, kind of pricey. Mm-hmm. There were some deals to be found, though. Super crowd. It was both in that trip and our next trip that we went in November, December. That was more crowded than the parks. It was just amazing, the crowds there.
Yeah, you know what? I went there one night. God, it must have been, I guess it was Christmas time. Yeah, it was. It was a few years back. We were down for New Year's Eve. So it was like the busiest time of the year anyway. But I remember that we were on the west side over there, you know, down by Splitsville, kind of up a little bit more towards the balloon. But there was a point we were there with our good friend Malcolm. His family was on one side of the base, at like the street. They were on one side of the street. We were on the other. And it was just a sea of humanity. Basically, you had to get in with the crowd and kind of go downriver with everybody, cut across, and then come back upriver. That's how crowded it was. But of course, busiest time of the year. But I know what you're saying. Disney Springs can get busy.
Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm sure you got a lot of locals as well. But boy, it was
busy. I just surfed the wave. I was like, I'll be back up. I'm gonna go downstream. I felt like a salmon or something. It was nuts. But it's not always like that. Go early in the morning, you know, lunchtime. All right. So now you mentioned you guys were down there about this time for one of your trips. You know, November, December. So tell us about that.
We went the weekend after Thanksgiving weekend, so the last part of November, early December. Just me and my wife again. We stayed one night at Coronado and then four nights at All-Star Movies. The highlights from that trip, we spent some more time at Disney Springs. My wife got to do the Void. I did it with her because she couldn't do it before the immobilizer. She really liked it. We loved the Christmas trees, and then we added Homecoming, which I know you can appreciate that.
Well, yeah, and let me ask you, though. You're from, you know, Nashville, Tennessee, you know, that area in the South. I mean, Homecoming's a celebration of Southern comfort food. What'd you think?
Oh, it was great. We got the fried chicken and, I think, fried chicken and donuts or something.
Yes, yes, I've had that. It's so good.
It was great. We'll definitely go back. We stayed most of the time at All-Star. boy, it really needs to be refurbished. They worked really hard to resolve some problems, but the All-Stars need some love. But I think they're undergoing refurbishment now.
They are. And actually, they're pretty far along in those, and they're getting those rooms like over at Pop Century.
We ate lunch for the first time at the Plaza in Magic Kingdom. My wife, she about went into a sugar coma due to the all-you-can-drink milkshakes.
Oof, dangerous.
We had to abandon a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train Fast Pass so she could go back to the hotel and recover a little bit. So
that's a good day right there. When that's your recovery is from a all-you-can-eat milkshake, that's not a bad day.
Yeah, it would not have worked out well to do Mine Train after that.
That's good. Everybody appreciates that you thought of them. That's good.
We experienced the Peter Pan queue for the first time. We really liked the shadow effect. I had never seen that before. That was cool. We did the Sunset Seasons greetings at Studios. Loved that. All the projection on the Tower of Terror. That's really neat. And then we went to the Mickey's Christmas party on our last night and liked that.
So think back on the Christmas party, because we're in that season and everybody's listening now. And I know a lot of our listeners are like, I'm going down in the next couple of weeks. I can't wait to go to my first Christmas party. So just give a couple highlights. What made the party fun over at the Magic Kingdom? You know, one of those Christmas party nights.
What we really liked, all the going around, getting all the cookies, the transformation of the castle that they do, where it looks like it's frozen with all the lights. That was really cool. And we did the parade. The parade was our highlight. We really loved the parade.
Yes, yes. Love the toy soldiers. Love the reindeer. Oh, man. I'm not going to get to go to the party this year, and I'm bummed out. I haven't been for a few years. And, you know, the more I see the coverage on, I think social media is like it's like a double-edged sword. You know, I'm excited because I get to see, like, Ricky was down there this past weekend, and she went to the Christmas party and posted all kinds of pictures, and I get excited to see that. But then again, knowing I haven't been for a few years, it's like, oh, man, seeing pictures is great, but experiencing it is a whole nother thing, because I'm a huge Christmas fan. I love the decorations, everything about it, and I got to get back down there during this time of the year.
We are, too. We like that, like I said, the party, the sunset greetings, and the Christmas trees at Disney Springs, those were all big highlights for us.
What'd you think of the decorations over at the studios? Because I think they really do a nice job of setting the tone over there with Christmas.
They do a great job, and like others have said, they have it more, it's concentrated at the Magic Kingdom, where at the studios, it's all spread out. Very cool.
Yeah, I'm glad they're also adding Animal Kingdom this year. From what I've seen there, they're really Dinoland USA of all places. Who'd have thought I would be saying this a year ago? But I mean, that is a cool looking Christmas area. They really hit it out of the park there. I almost dare I say I want to get down to Walt Disney World to go to Dinoland at Christmas.
Being an engineer, and I would love to know like how they store all this stuff and keep up with it and where it goes. It's just, they've got to have a huge warehouse that looks like the one in the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
They do. You know what? They have a big old building, because that's one of the things you can do. They give a tour of that. So you need to sign up for that tour sometime.
Oh, is that on the Keys to the Kingdom or whatever?
No, it's actually a special one. It's called the Yuletide Tour. You need to take it.
That's, that would be that, interesting.
There you go. Tell your wife. Instead of going to the void next time, there's your stocking stuffer this Christmas.
There you go.
Trying to help you out. Helping Santa here. All right.
I need a lot of
Me too, man. I hate this time of year. I'm the world's worst gift giver. So any suggestions for my wife and kids, let me know. Okay. Anyway, so tell us any other tips, trips that you took. I love this stuff. Just, you've given us some good stuff today.
Yeah, let me hit. So our last one with our APs, we went in May of this year. We took our almost four-year-old grandson for 5 nights, stayed at the Poly, did a little different with him. We took an afternoon flight, and I will say this is probably a decent tip. This messed me up a little bit, because I had my Prime Now order all ready to go as we hit the ground. And when I went on, there were no delivery times for the rest of the day.
Ooh.
So if you try to place that order too late, you will miss. You'll get pushed to the next day. So that was a little bit of a wrinkle there.
Yeah, because I usually have everything in my cart, and then I hit it when I get on Magical Express. But I do usually get there about noon.
Yeah, so that was my expectation, but it didn't work out that way. Of course, it's always fun to be with a kid seeing Disney World for the first time. He did good. Fun was his main word. He was quite scared of Chewbacca at first, but we worked through all that. First time at Chef Mickey's, like many have said, very crazy but fun. And our first fireworks dessert party and our first time to see Happily Ever After up close with projections. Loved that. The dessert party was well worth it, I thought.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's one of those things that it's to me, again, I try to be frugal with my money, but it's one of those things that if I spend the money and I walk away saying, I'm glad I did that, I don't regret the cost, and I'm glad I had the experience. I think that that's kind of what I get a lot at Walt Disney. Very rarely do I spend money on something and at the end, I'm wishing I had that money back. I'm more excited that I had the experience.
Yep. It was well worth it.
Nice.
And then our last trip was just in September. We went with another couple to Disneyland. The intent when we planned it was that Galaxy's Edge would be fully open at that time, which of course it was not without Rise of the Resistance. We stayed, like most folks do, just outside the park, a 10-minute walk. Really liked Galaxy's Edge. We did Smuggler's Run, I think, 3 times. Enjoyed it. Again, as many have said, it's not the e-ticket ride, but it's a pretty good ride, I thought.
Yeah, I like it, too. Because the thing is, like, you know, with rewatching all the Star Wars movies, I was thinking about this, that it's so strange that now you can walk through a land where you're three-dimensionally in a Star Wars environment. And, you know, even though I did the single rider line when I did Smuggler's Run back in September. But, and I was, of course, stuck as the engineer in the back seat with a grandma from another family. But I've been in the cockpit. I haven't flown the Millennium Falcon yet, but I've ridden in it, you know. So that was, you know, as I was watching the movies, I'm like, I've been in that. I've been in that ship that I dreamed about being in since I was 4 years old.
We had so much fun with the other couple. My friend's wife and I were the gunners, and then my wife and my friend were the pilots. And my friend's wife, Jill, she was pretty hard on her husband. What are you doing? Why are you flying? You're crashing this. Worst pilot ever. So we had a lot of fun with that. You can have that experience.
I don't know. You know, maybe there should be a warning that you probably shouldn't ride that ride and have a position opposite your significant other, because I think that'll never end well. Like, when my wife and I drive together, it's usually not too pretty. And then I could imagine if we were flying the Millennium Falcon together, it'd be ugly.
Well, I don't know. The way the controls are, one person's doing up and down, the other person's doing left and right. I don't think you're ever going to be able to fly it very well.
That's right. We should have gone left at the Supernova. You know, I could totally hear it right now. That'd be crazy.
We love some of the stuff at Disneyland, which is unique, like Cars Land in DCA. Very cool, creative decorations there. For Halloween, we were there during the Halloween decorations. Space Mountain there is much smoother than Walt Disney World's Space Mountain. And so is Big Thunder. We saw Fantasmic, very cool. The Dragon's very impressive. Their whole Max Pass system, very different than Disney World's Fast Pass, but still a pretty cool system. We used it pretty effectively. It's, like I say, totally different than FastPass. And then lastly, I just jump out and say we enjoyed all the meet and greets with the Marvel characters, which you can't get in Florida. And the Guardians of the Galaxy overlay of the Tower of Terror was very well done. So that was a pretty cool trip.
So let me ask you about that Disneyland trip, because this is one of the questions that I get the most, you know, via the podcast and via working with traveling guests. You guys, you know, sounds like you had a very successful, a lot of fun at Disneyland, and you stayed offsite, basically at like a good neighbor hotel or, you know, a nearby hotel. And I think it's hard to put your mind around that when you go to Walt Disney World and you're somebody who always stays on site, whether it's a value, moderate, deluxe, what have you. Was the experience okay? I mean, because I think we're always locked into being in the bubble at World, where if you're in a, you know, non-Disney-owned hotel at a Disneyland, it still works out all right. I mean, I hear that from people time and time again.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you're missing out on, I think they may call it, maybe they call it early morning magic, but you miss out on that. But the hotels there are just, I don't think they have any value hotels there for sure. I know they may, maybe they call some of them moderates, but They were just a little too pricey for us.
Yeah, there's three of them, and they're expensive, a little less expensive, and expensive. You know, the thing is, it's all about, you know, supply and demand. There's only three hotels, there's only so many beds, and Disneyland is Disneyland. You know, there's no place like it. So, we're Disney fans. We know how that works out. With going to Disneyland, did you find yourself like missing Walt Disney World, or is it something that is so special being out on the West Coast that, you know, you didn't miss it at all? Because like you said, you have the Fast Pass and the Max Pass, similar but different. How do you feel when you go from one to the other?
It is kind of nostalgic, just because, you know, that's the original Disneyland. That's where Walt walked and, you know, had input into the whole thing. So that's all pretty cool. It's a much there. Disneyland is, you know, pretty similar to Magic Kingdom, but it's a much smaller scale. I remember the first time I went several years ago, I saw Sleeping Beauty Castle, and, you know, it's about, I don't know, 2/3 as high as Cinderella's castle. It's just like, wow, this castle is really small by comparison. So a lot of things different, but as I know you know and I've heard people say, there's some rides that are much better and some that aren't, and then some that are unique to both places. But it's just a more... A smaller, as far as length of stay and geography experience. We were there 3 days. That was plenty for us. I can't see staying a week there unless you were just going in every shop and every single show and all that.
Sounds good. Yeah, I can't wait to get out there. The more I watch all this stuff on Disney Plus with, like, you know, Disneyland from the 60s and, you know, the late 50s and all this Imagineering stuff, like, there's going to be a surge in attendance out there. I'm telling you, because like I see this stuff, I'm like, oh man, I got to get out there. I got to see all this stuff. So it's definitely drawn me west. It's one of those things though, because like the thing you mentioned over and over in today's show is having the annual pass gets you back down to Walt Disney World as much as you can in those 365 days, because nowadays your major cost on your Walt Disney World vacation is your resort and your tickets. And if your tickets are covered for the year, really you can make these things happen for not a whole lot of money.
Yeah, that's what we found last year. We're shooting for doing that again, starting fall of next year, September to September.
So the grandkids kind of egging you on, like, when we're going back, you know, we had a good time, let's do this again.
They would like to go back. And so I've mentioned four of them, but we have two more right now. So we've got to get the two youngest ones down there too. So we're working on that.
That's
working on the plan.
Hey, you know what? That's a great family though, because it's a nice tradition and it's a great, you know, I've gone with my extended family. I've gone with lots of friends down to Walt Disney World, and you can make some memories of a lifetime at a destination like that when the pressure's off. Now, you can also get on each other's nerves when you're traveling with people and you're together 24/7. It brings out a whole another level of stress sometimes. But truly, when you get to go to a place like Walt Disney World together, you can make some awesome lifetime memories.
And if it's okay with you, I've got a couple of overall random thoughts I just jotted down. Oh, again, I'm an engineer.
Yeah, 100%. So. Do it. Go ahead.
I do like most of the new experiences and investments, Pandora, Galaxy's Edge, Toy Story Land, the use of the projection technology, Magic Bands is not that new anymore. And I will say I don't particularly care for Soaring. I really wish they'd rework the video to adjust for that fisheye effect. The new film's okay. I just like the old one better.
Yep.
The one thing I noticed in Disneyland, I don't know if you experienced this, they, in addition to the paper straws now, they've stopped including lids.
Yep.
On fountain drinks.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's one of those things. I mean, I get it. They're trying to save the planet.
Of course, but whew, there's got to be a better alternative. But, you know, all in all, I think things are trending good. Like you said, how have things changed over the years? They've changed mostly in a positive direction, I would think. I'm excited about those new additions. And my biggest two tips for anybody would be young kids need breaks and subscribe to touring plans. Touring plans has just been my whole planning process. We'll start with the crowd calendar, figure out the dates, figure out what parks we're going to be in, make your ADRs, lay out your whole touring plan so you can figure out when to get your fast passes. I can't say enough about how much of a value touring plans is.
They're going to appreciate that. They sponsor today's podcast, so they're getting unsolicited recommendation. That's good stuff. No, these are all great tips, and especially with the kids, keeping them on a schedule, letting them – you know what? You mentioned, like, kids need a rest. I am a huge – I guess maybe because now I'm 45. You know, I'm not 22 anymore like I used to be. And I run a lot and everything. I try to stay in shape. But I still think if you're going hard at Walt Disney World, and we get down there, we get excited. Most people do. You got to take a break. Whether it's even, I mean, it doesn't have to be taking a nap. But, I mean, just going back and sitting by the pool or even, you know, having a sit-down dinner, you know, for an hour where you're just off your feet. I think breaks are huge. And you mentioned that time and time again.
Yep.
Good
and
tip.
Especially when it's hot, you got to get out of the sun for a while.
Oh, man. Tell me about it. It's freezing now, though, so we're out of that for a little while here. Are you guys in the deep freeze, too, down in Tennessee?
Yeah, I think we hit 17 last night.
Oh, man. Too early. Too early for all this. That's crazy.
How about y'all? You had to be colder.
Yeah, we got down to a wind chill of 2 inches of snow on the ground here in St. Louis. So you got to love that before Thanksgiving. Anyway, we're boring everybody with the weather report, but no, I hope everybody enjoyed today's show. Great tips for taking extended family down to Walt Disney World, traveling as a couple. Nick, thanks for taking the time and coming on and making this an awesome Monday for us.
You're welcome. Glad to.
All right. Don't forget today's show. As Nick said, touringplans.com. They have the tools you need to have a successful trip. It's a great place to start and a great place to take that information throughout the trip to guarantee you're seeing the most amount of attractions possible to open up time to go to the pools, sit down and have a nice meal, or just relax. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. And as the holiday season quickly approaches, please help us support the show. Use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. If you could bookmark that on all your devices, and anytime you do that online shopping, just click that link. It'll take you straight to Amazon. Looks exactly the same. You'll get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and it really does help support everything we do here on the podcast throughout the year. So again, please bookmark it and use it often. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And of course, we have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Don't forget, subscribe to the show wherever you check us out, whether it's on Pocket Cast, Stitcher, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, what have you. Just hit that subscribe button. You'll never miss an episode. And it is a great way to support everything we do. So again, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Thank you so much for checking in. We hope that you have an awesome week. So for Nick, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. But it's time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.